morning, everybody. Today I'll be talking about the effects of plant diversity and biochar in biofuel grasslands. So a brief overview of what I'll be talking about. I'm going to give a short experimental rationale about the potential benefits of both species diversity as well as biochar in grasslands. Then talk about my experimental design, what we did, what we collected, go into some of our preliminary results, and then share some conclusions and some recommendations with you. So the DOE has recognized that certain native grasses are good perennial feedstocks, and one of these examples is switchgrass. However, there are other ones such as big bluestem and Indian grass, which also are high yielding and can be potential biofuels. And one of the reasons that these are looked at is because they yield somewhere around 4 to 15 megagrams per hectare. However, research also suggests that having a polyculture, these diverse mixtures, can help improve yields while reducing inputs and providing other positive benefits. The one that we all talk about is this nitrogen fixation. When you add legumes into a grass plot, you can reduce your nitrogen inputs, and you also can have a potential yield boost of your grasses. Another possible thing is the portfolio effect. Just like when we buy stocks and that, you don't just buy one single stock, but you buy a portfolio of stocks. In a similar manner, you plant a portfolio of species such that if the yields of one drop in one year, the other species can help maintain your yields over time and you can have yield stability. Another practice that's been suggested as beneficial for agriculture and potential biofuels is biochar. Now, biochar is a carbon-rich product of pyrolysis and gasification, and it has a bunch of potential benefits. One of the ones that we always hope for is higher yields, that if you have biochar, you're going to get more grass out of it. Another possibility is improved soil water holding capacity, and this is particularly important in drought years or else in more arid environments. And then finally, because it's a carbon-rich product, if you incorporate it into the soil, you can have improved carbon sequestration and basically a more long-term form of carbon storage. However, they've done some meta-analyses, and they suggest that some of these benefits, particularly that of higher yields, could only be limited to annual crops, and that by adding biochar to our perennial grasslands, you might not actually see a yield gain. And so that's one of the things that my research aims to address. So I have several questions that I was looking at to answer. And the first is, will polycultures of perennial plants perform better than switchgrass monocultures? My second question is, will adding biochar to these perennial grasslands help promote native perennial plant growth and then yields? And then thirdly, is there an interaction? What will happen if we apply biochar to different levels of plant diversity? So I conducted this research in southwest Iowa near Lewis. And it was a split plot design with four replications of each plot. My whole plot was seeding mixture. I had three perennial grass seeding options. The first was switchgrass, and I'd like to note we used the Liberty cultivar. Liberty is a recently released cultivar switchgrass that has two parents, an upland and a lowland parent, and it was selected because it's very high yielding. It's also relatively cold tolerant in our northern climates. I also had a low diversity grass mixture of three grasses, not including Liberty. And then a high diversity mix of grasses and forbs. And this would be something more like what you would consider a prairie restoration, not necessarily a biofuel field, but more of a prairie, a natural prairie. These plots were no-till drilled at about 323 pure live seed per square meter in May of 2012. Each of these whole plots were then split in half, and my split plot application was biochar, which was produced from mixed wood gasification at about 600 degrees Celsius. As I mentioned, it was applied to half of each whole plot in October 2011, which was the fall before we seeded our perennial plants. And we applied about 20 megagrams per hectare and incorporated into the soil at about 15 centimeters. One thing I did forget to mention, in addition to our three native prairie mixtures, we also compared this with corn, but I won't be talking about corn today. And so here's what our plot looked like. We've got 16 main plots. Four of each of the mixtures of our three perennial grass options in the corn, and they were about one-third of a hectare each. Then they were split in half, and the diagonal lines show which half the biochar was applied. I collected data 2013 through 2015, which are years 2 through 4 of the experiment. I collected a variety of data, including emergence counts, plant community composition. I looked at mid-season height and light interception. I also looked at peak biomass yields collected in August, and I'm also collecting end-of-season biomass collected after a killing freeze. What I'm going to be talking about today is going to be plant community composition as described by relative cover, and then peak and end-of-season biomass yields. So I'm sure a lot of you agronomists recall the drought of 2012 was not a good year for planting prairie. We had very poor establishment overall, except for the weeds, which really did very well. We ended up having to replant the switchgrass in May of 2013. So I'd like to note that this means that whenever I talk about the switchgrass plots, they're actually always 1 year younger than our low diversity and our high diversity plots. First thing I'm going to talk about is relative cover. The figure here shows relative cover in late May into early June of each year. And you can see that over time, relative cover increases in all of our three different seeding mixtures, just basically from 2013 to 2015. When you look at each different, when you compare each of the three seeding mixtures, you can see that seed mix has an effect on cover over most sampling dates. And what you see is in 2013, our low diversity plots tend to have more relative cover, more desirable species. And once again, that's because our switchgrass plots pretty much failed to establish and they were just planted, and our high diversity plots had low cover overall. In comparison, by 2015, you can see our switchgrass plots have recovered from that poor seeding that first year, and they're about equivalent with our low diversity plots. In contrast, our high diversity plots are lagging a bit behind. I also looked at biochar, and what I found is that there was only a transient effect in the early summer of 2013 and 2014. What I found is it actually tended to reduce our desirable species sown cover and increase weed cover. However, that sounds slightly concerning, but the good news is this disappeared on our later sampling dates in July and was entirely gone by 2015. So relative cover is good, but we all know, you know, what's the meat of the matter? How much biomass do we get? And so I looked at peak biomass in August, and I found that in both years, the high diversity plots had less sown biomass than the low diversity and the switchgrass plots. And once again, just as I mentioned, this effect of biochar disappeared in our relative cover. I found that there was no effect of biochar on our sown species biomass. I separated our biomass by our desirable species and then our weed species. And so when I looked at weed biomass in August, I found that just like our high diversity plots had poor sown species, our high diversity plots had poor sown species biomass, they had more weedy biomass. And if you guys also look, you can notice that in 2015, there's a very sharp drop in weed biomass in 2014 and 2015 for our low diversity and our switchgrass plots. And this is because we applied some 2,4-D. We really kicked up our weed management. Unfortunately, we could not do this to our high diversity plots, which contain both grasses and forbs, so our management for that was mowing. And so this is one reason why weed control is important. The top graph or the top figures are images from our switchgrass plots and a high diversity plot in 2014, and they are basically choked out with horseweed. If you can see, 2,4-D application in spring of 2015 made our switchgrass plots practically pure monocultures. Mowing of our high diversity plots did help. We have less horseweed, but we still are struggling with some weeds in there. The next thing that I looked at is end of season biomass. And as I mentioned, I have to wait for a killing freeze. And as of right now, there's been no killing freeze in southwest Iowa. So I'm still waiting to collect the data. And this is totally crazy, I'm going to say. So what I'm going to give you is our 2014 data. In addition, as I mentioned, we were struggling with weed control of our high diversity plots. And they were mowed in August of 2013. And so they were excluded from end of season biomass. What I looked at when I compared my low diversity and my switchgrass plots is that there was only an effect of seed mixture. Fortunately, the good news is there was no difference in our sown biomass. Both of them produced somewhere around 7 to 7.5 megagrams per hectare. But we did find that there were fewer weeds in the switchgrass plot. And this could be a result of the fact that these plots started with a corn nurse crop, so they could have started with a lower seed or a lower weed seed competition in the beginning. And once again, it's still just a trend. It's 0.057. So in conclusion, what I found was that the effects of biochar on your plant community composition is transient, generally early season and earlier in the stand ages. And there is no effect on yield when you look at plant biochar or the plant effect on biochar. In addition, it's seeding mix that affects your yield. And what we found is that your weather and your establishment success in that first year is what's really important. Our high diversity plots suffered from that drought in that first year, and you could still see yield declines into 3 years later. They're slowly increasing, but they're nowhere near caught up to our low diversity plots. In addition to high diversity plots being risky, monocultures can also be risky to establish. As I mentioned, we had a stand failure of switchgrass due to that drought. We had to replant it. However, if you manage for a high species with weed control, you can find that your yields actually do recover with your monocultures. And that brings me to my next point. Weed control is important. You can reduce your weedy species composition and therefore improve your desirable plant yield. And so overall, what it suggests is that one to a few high-performing grass species might help provide that balance between your establishment success, your peak biomass yields, and your end-of-season biomass yields, and then your ease of being able to manage these things. And with that, I'd like to thank my lab, in particular the undergrads who helped collect all that data with me, and then my funding from FennUSA Bioenergy, Iowa State University, and then the USDA. And with that, I open the floor to questions. Yeah.
We have time for a couple of questions.
What do you propose is the reason for poor season development where you have biochar versus not?
Where we have biochar or not? I am not sure. Maybe it's possible with that drought and that maybe the weeds just picked up on some of those benefits. We have a lot of annual weeds. We have a lot of short-term persistent weeds. So as I mentioned, if these are things that, you know, this biochar benefit could have benefited the weeds rather than our perennial plants, that's a possibility. I'm not sure right now. I found it interesting myself. Yeah.
What's the rationale for the amount of biochar applied?
Ken, do you have a reason why we applied that much biochar?
David Lars, right?
David, sorry. I didn't see you. David, why did we apply that much?
We've run some rake trials. We've run a number of other approaches. You get upwards of 100 megagrams per hectare. It's too much. You're going to see some negative effects. We see that kind of the optimum in around the 20 range. It's still pretty much a guess, but it kind of goes like this. I think about 20 is about right now for these soils. So it's still an art, not a science. The exact amount put on.
Can I kind of, I have a follow-up question to that. So what about if you had a lower amount of biochar? Probably may have probably more benefits see that curve rather than
it's doubtful. I mean, less biochar would probably have no impact and would look a lot more like a control, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
As David mentioned, you're looking for that peak, and so I would imagine it wouldn't do as much, if anything.
Yeah, there's one more question.
Just a comment. The field site that we're referring to where we tested rates is another molasol, but with other soils, you can find it will continue to increase yield with increasing biochar.
What was the organic matter content on that soil?
Hey, Rivka, what was organic matter of the soil? She's a soil scientist that worked on these things.
So it ranged between like 1.5 and 2, and a few spots had above 2.
So pretty solid.
Yeah.
You showed the weed about the biomass, but
yes.
In the high and low diversity,
mm-hmm.
do you have a sense of which of the desirable species predominated?
Yes, for the high and the low diversity. High diversity had actually in 2013 and 2014 a preponderance of forbs. We found a lot of sunflowers, black-eyed Susan, some partridge pea, and other legumes, and we actually were struggling with our grass biomass. By 2015, we found some more big blue stems, some more Indian grass in those plots, and our forbs were starting to decline. And then in our low diversity plots, we initially found, we had established Seidel's grandma, as well as Indian grass and big blue stem, and we started with more of that grandma, and then we started to get more Indian grass and big blue stem as the stands matured. Yes?
Can you do any nitrogen fertilization comparison of the high density versus the monoculture?
We did apply different amounts of nitrogen. Our high diversity ones were initially established as sort of a low input system, and so we applied less nitrogen to those. We applied more to our low diversity and our switchgrass monocultures.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.